So you can sign up for your grandparents, your parents as well, so.
Can I just make a couple comments and maybe a question here? So Register of Deeds has a lot of public documents that are online. Now, that has also changed, so you may have to pay a fee to see some of those documents. But when you file a deed, or you say you get a mortgage or whatever, your personal information about the details of the loan, like your account number, is probably not going to be there. But the fact that you took out money, or the fact that you have a loan with a certain bank or whatever, some information is going to be posted. It is a public document. So if someone wants to cause trouble, they can go in there and they can get some information about you. And what they do is they might try to open accounts in your name. They might try to do, who knows what they'll do. In some cases, they try to actually take over your property. They'll actually, if you will, file a fraudulent deed. But once that's done, they can pull a mortgage, they can pull a loan off of that, you know, do equity loan. They can do all kinds of things. It's almost always a financial motive. But the things that they can cause, the trouble they can cause by having public access to some small details about you and your property that are real, is a pretty big threat. So when I've gotten these messages from them saying someone did something in your system, I say, well, I don't have any idea what just happened. So you know what I do? I call them. I say, I got this alert. What just happened? They'll look it up and they'll say, well, here's what it is. And they'll explain it to me. I'll say, okay, that's no big deal. Because maybe my mortgage company filed a piece of paper that went into my file. Okay? And I wasn't even aware of it, but they did that. Whatever it is, there are things that happen in your file that if you do this and your name's attached to something in some way, you get notified. You can always find out what it is. What have I said wrong, or what have I...
You're right on track. Right on track. So the nice thing is we when we signed up for this, Tanya was in the process of selling her house, so she got a notification as soon as she had it filed and the paperwork was filed that it got transferred. So it's pretty instantaneous that you get that notification. The sooner you know if a document's filed on your property, the better. That way, if there is fraud occurring, you could definitely get that process started quicker. You guys have any questions?
So, will you guys be willing to take some of this information back to who you work with and spread this word out a little bit further?
Absolutely.
Make it, put it on your agenda, talk about it a little bit. I see Austin's got a question.
Do you have a social media post that you have out there?
Yeah, we throw it out all the time, and we can have our communications throw it out again. Yeah.
It sounds hard to believe this, but it's possible for someone to pretend to be the owner of the house, file a fake deed, and then sell your house
underneath you.
And that has actually happened. I mean, so sounds extreme, like, well, that can never happen. Believe it or not, it can happen. So I always say, you know, put a lock on your credit, you know, your credit reporting agency, so no one can put in a bank account you don't know about. This is the second thing you can do for it. Because this, dirty. I was listening to the SCAC meeting this last Saturday, Mark, and Kyle's not here.
Right there. Hi, Kyle.
You guys did a good job talking about the bad guys. They're trying to take advantage of things like, you know, municipal IT stuff, right? So being smart and doing things like, you know, having robust things in place to protect us as citizens is a really smart thing to do. So with that, I just want to make sure that everyone knows about this opportunity. Yes.
Yep.
So you said that it's free to sign up, correct? Yep. So once you sign up, there's no hidden fees once
no
you sign up?
No hidden fees, and okay, we'll notify you anytime a document gets filed in the office.
And that's pulling records from here local with our?
Correct.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So
anything
each
happens,
other state would have their own?
Yes. Ours is just to Sedgwick County.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you had one in the past. This is a new one. Do we have
yes.
to re-sign up?
Yes,
is that
you will.
Correct?
Uh-huh.
I remember getting alerted to that, and I completely forgot. So I'm
yeah.
glad
and
you're
it,
here.
And it takes 2 seconds to sign up. So,
okay.
Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
So the paper of record for Central County is Valley Center. Is that right?
It is now.
Okay. Someone in my neighborhood actually had their house taken that way. And that person filed through the Valley Center paper. So if we want to check, are you guys checking what people do through the Valley Center paper then? Because that was like a sovereign citizen kind of thing where they thought, well, they're in California because it's a pandemic, and they just filed a deed and took their house. So is that something you guys check to see if people were filing through the Valley Center paper?
We don't go through that. We're with Register Deeds. We are the filing cabinet.
Okay.
So when anything gets transferred, as long as it meets our requirements to file, we file it. But that's why it's so important to sign up for something like this, because if that person was signed up for it, they would have got that notification the next day, and then they could have started the legal process to block that.
So one of the goals right now is the county wants to do a good job communicating these types of things, because it's one of those things that people just don't ever hear about. And this is one of the things that can really save you a lot of grief in the future. If you just do one little thing to register for this, you never know how this might be really protecting you, and it's free. All right, anything else on that? All right, I don't think we have to do anything other than just want to say thank you, Kenley. There's no reason to receive and file that briefing, I don't think, so we're just gonna go on. Going back to the minutes, you guys have a chance to peruse the minutes at this point. Is there anybody who wants to make any corrections or changes to the minutes? Well, thank you, Michelle, for putting these together for me. By the way, one more thing I just say here. Travis is filling in for Stephanie Birmingham. You might know where Stephanie Bergman. Stephanie Birmingham will be doing these in the future, I think, but she's out of state at the moment. She's on the way back. So Travis is helping out for these. So Travis works in the manager's office. So again, well, thank you for saying thank you, Travis, for filling in today. But any updates, corrections, questions on the minutes? If not, I'll take a motion from someone to approve the minutes.
Seven.
Becky Tuttle motions to approve the minutes. And seconded by Dale Pratt. No further questions or comments. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Very good. Let's go on the agenda today. I have some follow-up discussion from, and you're welcome, Kelly. You can stay as long as you want, but you don't feel like you have to stay.
Okay.
You might just enjoy your lunch and leave whenever you want to leave, okay? You can stay, though. We had some discussion discuss exploring opportunities for shared services, co-location ideas, partnerships, another form of functional consolidation, or any form of consolidation with an organization. Have any of the members been able to get any conversations with your organizations to find out if there's any opportunities that you can bring forward that we can talk about in terms of an opportunity for co-location, shared services, partnerships, actual handing one thing to another, one responsibility to another organization. And again, I gave you lots of examples on our first meeting of what that could be. Anybody have anything you want to bring back to the board here for examples of things that are interesting to your organization? Okay. It's okay. Please continue to look for opportunities, okay? And I'll probably ask this question in future meetings, so.
I would like some clarification if I could, Jim.
Sure.
If I remember looking through these minutes from last time, there was discussion about the conflict of co-funding between a city and a county. And I don't exactly understand. Something in here was requested to be funded by both. And
so sometimes, let me give you one example. There is a philosophy that a government should provide a service to a jurisdiction. And when you have two governments taxing for the same services, some people are being taxed twice for the same service. And again, that's a great opportunity of something that maybe should be the responsibility should shift to one versus having both do something. I'll give you just a couple of examples. And I'm not saying these are bad. I'm just giving you examples. Wichita and Sedgwick County both fund GWP. Greater Wichita Partnership.
Okay.
Both Central County and Wichita provide funding to,
WEBA.
What's that?
Do you fund WEBA?
We don't actually fund WEBA, believe it or not.
Visit Wichita?
We don't do that.
Visit Wichita.
No. You don't do what? We don't have to visit Wichita either. But yeah, we do the Historical Museum, is a good example. Mm-hmm. So the Historical Museum, we both have some responsibility to fund the Wichita Central County Historical Museum. So. Again, if you live in the county, you're paying to the county. If you live in the city, you're paying to the city and the county. And so, you know, if it's a county resource, if you will, then perhaps the county should take it over. You know, I'm just saying maybe the city shouldn't pay for it. So again, the city, just to be clear, the city does Botanica and the Air Museum and Cowtown and Art Museum, and they do certain things. The Wichita Arts Commission receives money from Wichita, correct?
We don't actually, I'm on the Arts Council Board, we don't actually receive money from the city, but we receive technical assistance and support. money came to them years ago. Now it's just
that's interesting.
They did not know that.
Well, let me tell you, I guess a new one is being debated right now. That's called the Multi-Agency Center for Homeless Services, mm-hmm. and for people to hopefully get them back on their feet and get them independent. So Wichita, so far, has taken the lead on that. And we have said in the past that the county has focused more on mental health and on disability services and on substance abuse services. The city has not done those because we provide that service on behalf of the city, if that makes sense.
Okay.
The Multi-Agency Center has been something that has been led by Wichita. We've been very supportive of them, asking them to do this. We believe it's really important for our community. But the funding thus far has come from the city. It hasn't come from the county. Now, the initial, the winter shelter a year ago, we did put some money into that. And then I guess for this first part of this, what they have right now, there was a small amount of money that we put into that as well. But over time, the operational money is not going to be coming from Wichita and Cinco County unless something changes. But right now, that's not planned. So there are some people that want the county to provide funding to that. And I'm not saying it should or should not happen. What I'm saying is, one of the arguments about not doing that is we don't want to fund it twice from the same people. So either it should be funded through the city or funded through the county. I guess the first question you should ask is this a county-wide service, or is this something that's Wichita-centric? If it's for Wichita, then it's maybe more appropriate for them to fund it. You know, Derby has another company. One of the arguments I'm concerned about a little bit is they're trying to cooperate with Wichita on digital parks, for example. The Derby has their own parks. The Morgan has their own parks, right? And all the cities, you have 20 cities. They all have their own park system. They all have their own libraries and all of those. And they provide city funding to make those things work. Well, there's been a recent discussion about the county partnering with Wichita on parks. Well, the question then comes up, if you are living in, let's say, Cheney or Goddard or wherever, here's some of your funding to the county is funding parks that are in Wichita, which arguably is a Wichita responsibility like every other city. So, is it truly fair to other cities? Is it a better form of government? It's a great discussion. There is no decision that's been made. It's just been a discussion of people. Okay? I think that's what that refers to, Dale.
Yes, it is. Okay. I remember the Mac.
That's a long answer to a short question. I apologize for the length.
Okay.
Any other comments on the minutes? Okay, we already approved this anyway. Okay. Move on. I asked about shared services. Okay. No questions on shared services at this time. No ideas yet. Go ahead, Faye.
So two questions. One is, were you aware that the mayor and the chair of the county board and the chair of the Wichita school board met and had a town hall for council youth there where they asked those exact same questions? They actually put together, from what I heard, a huge list of options speaking about shared services. We haven't seen that list. I wasn't aware of it. That was one. The second one is, when it comes to shared services, how will people that are recognized through collective bargaining in one area and, say, for county not having been recognized, how will shared services work there?
Well, so I'm just going to say this because I'm recording the meeting, and I'm sure I can't hear you because you're too far away. The question is, am I aware that Lily Wu and Ryan Beatty and I assume Diane Albert,
yes,
had a joint meeting where they had this discussion in front of the public and had a town hall, if you will. I received my report last week. I have not had a chance to read that yet, but I have. I did listen to portions of the meeting. I didn't listen to the whole thing. So I'm certainly aware of it. One thing that's different is this table represents government, if you will. There's USDs, and townships, improvement districts, and cities at the table. So I want to make sure that they, representing their city, they might have a different perspective than what the people might not know how stuff works. One of the complexities of doing something together is exactly what you just said. You have different retirements, you have different salaries, you have different, sometimes there's union or non-union. That makes it very difficult to merge those together and do it in some fair way. So that's one of the biggest reasons why, there's actually about five or six really good reasons why, Wichita Fire and Central County Fire have not moved forward with the merger. Because Wichita Fire is in a union, they have a different type of pension system, they have a different salary structure, they have different equipment, they do things differently, and in the Central County does their own thing. So to merge these two departments is very complex. And there's actually some legal reasons, some constitutional reasons, and there's some other barriers as well. But just those issues alone create real big, legitimate barriers to make that not work. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. thank you for being here. There's a lunch over there for you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. And then make sure she gets her stuff going. All right. So please continue to think of any opportunities for things we can explore here that would be shared service. Let me just say, there's one other thing. I didn't really bring this up last time I talked about the reason for collaboration board. One of the reasons for collaboration board is help City County get better. So if you think there's deficiencies in City County services, we want to bring those up here, okay? This is another thing for me to hear that. So I know there's been some concerns about, you know, county services, and I can tell you we will be bringing people in and explain things, and hopefully we get some multi-organizational understanding exactly why things are the way they are, how do things work, and we can to get those complaints understood, and we can collaborate on these solutions. So one more reason for the collaboration board is to hear your complaints about Central County, and then you think we can do better, missed opportunities, whatever. Well, I certainly want to hear from you guys. Yes,
since you brought up the SCSC meeting, the Public Works Department came to that meeting and talked about how for us with water departments, stormwater departments, how the county is willing to partner with cities and other MS4 filing entities to take on the burden. So things like that, if there's anything that we could like funnel up,
sure.
Look out for reducing consulting fees for each entity.
Thanks. Well, I know Mayor Stats was there, manager of St. John, is that right? You were there, and Manager Mangus was there, and I don't think anybody else was there. So to your point, we had a brief, you were there, and of course Travis was there. There was a briefing by our stormwater management and our public works. It talks about potentially, if you will, starting up our city county stormwater management board again, and the discussion really goes around, is there a revenue stream the county can come up with that's acceptable to our taxpayers and our people, provide a new service that people don't have currently. And the service would be something we would like to partner with our cities, if you will, and invest money for infrastructure solutions for stormwater flooding across the county. And there's literally nearly, it depends on who you, which report you want to listen to, all around the office, there's $1 billion worth of things we could do if we had the money. And so, again, not having a funding stream says we're not going to do any of that. But people might really want us to do that. Maybe they would support a revenue stream. So the question is, are we going to put that in front of the people, number one, get something started? And then if that does go forward, we need to collaborate with our cities and find out a way to do fairly to get that limited funding to the cities to do the best work we can for all the cities. All right, so that's a great segue there. All right, so last time we met together 2 months ago, I talked about a potential shared media broadcast contract for streaming all the different kinds of meetings. I mean, planning meetings, city council meetings. And, you know, you might, if you want to do it on your website, that's great. But some cities don't do it at all. Many meetings are not even recorded sometimes. Mulvane, I don't think they actually record their meetings. So there's no way to go back and see what was done. The idea is that we would record the meetings. Some of it could be live broadcast. Some of it could be FTP'd into the broadcast production studio. They receive those files and they would schedule them up and get them broadcast on TV as well as a collector website, if you will. But you can go to all of the governments of Central County and see information about all of the cities, all of the parks, all of the, you know, it's a collector, if you will. So one place you can go to get information about government of Central County, including all the cities. It also provides opportunities for you to showcase your city, like Rock River Rapids or the Old Settlers Parade or whatever it would be, or Riverfest or something. And I right now, Mark, please remind me, is Derby on Channel 7 right now?
No.
They're not on Channel 7. No, Wichita is not on. Wichita is on Channel 7.
We updated our software and the way things are done.
So we're on Channel 7.
We're on
for
the
meetings. We just don't broadcast our meetings on Channel 7. But we have a slideshow that talks. talks about events going on.
Right, but if you want to actually watch the meeting and hear that, you can't do that right now.
You gotta do it from the website, yeah. Cox was a free channel, the school district and us utilized it. Cox did not put any resources towards that, so as we upgraded our AV equipment, it would not play on the old technology to be able to play it live. So we decided at that point, and the viewership was pretty low because people have gone away from basic cable, you had to have Cox to watch it. There was less and less viewership, so we just went to streaming on the website. You can rewatch it on Channel 7. They replay the meetings.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah.
Is it scheduled or just happen to catch it?
It's scheduled.
It is scheduled. Very good. Very good. And then, what about your other meetings? Your school board, are they the same way right now?
School board runs the same. Yeah. We utilize the technology there through us through a switch that here at the city, so they're able to utilize through us and our website.
And Channel 7 also used for the Planning Commission meetings. Are they still same thing?
Correct. Same thing with Planning Commission.
Pretty good. Derby is a city of the first class, and they do things pretty well. But a lot of cities, we have 19 cities in Sedgwick County besides Wichita, Derby being one of those. We have 18 other ones. The question is there interest? Yeah, this would probably have to be, to be fair, we have to be based on some kind of fair. I don't think it'd be the same cost for every city. There's no way that would happen. It might be based on population, it might be based on assessed value, but some way to share a contract so that you can get more meetings on an actual broadcast. So if you don't have cable TV, if you don't have a streaming service, you can still watch this stuff. There are, believe it or not, on your second handout today, I want you to see on the one that's got all the grid there, I want you to see the very top of the page 9, the very top of the page, the one that's facing you, says eliminate funding for live television and closed captioning through KPTS, $80,000 savings. We've been paying $80,000, but bear in mind, that's the least we've ever paid. Usually it's about $125,000. It went down to $80,000 a year ago, but they had some technical problems in KPTS, and they were not able to stream us. I forget exactly the order of events here, but we had a contract impasse that happened January the 1st. So we stopped broadcasting January the 1st this year, and we also had some equipment problems last year. So there's a time that we weren't broadcasting anyway, and so we started looking at some of the numbers. The Nielsen ratings, the Nielsen numbers, and show what the viewership is. And for the longest time, KPTS has actually had very, very high viewership, believe it or not. Part of that is because they would show those meetings numerous times during the week. And it was broadcast statewide. So again, if we do a broadcast, it goes beyond our borders. Imagine if Wolfgang did this. You're not broadcasting just Wolfgang, you're broadcasting well beyond Sedgwick County, right? So you're getting, if you will, people say, well, I didn't even know Wolfgang Sellers was a thing. Well, they might show up and participate because they get the word out that way. And so there's a way for, you know, if you believe in transparent government, then this is one of those things where I think there's interest on the county side. We're trying to gauge whether there's interest on the city side or any other meetings from that matter. So USDs and cities especially, I think those are the two. I don't know the townships and improvement districts would want to do this. But cities and USDs, I think, probably would. And it could be all of the meetings that you would normally have on Channel 7. Channel 7 also, like in Derby's meetings don't go to Wichita. Wichita meetings would not go to Derby. If you didn't have Cox Cable, say you had AT&T instead or something else, you still couldn't see the meetings. So there's a lot of reasons why it wasn't really working really great. And so this is intended to be a one place for everybody to go, countywide, for all of the meetings, to see meetings scheduled and repeated, if you will. Some of it would be live streamed, some of it would be repeated. And it would be a shared contract. So, first of all, people in this room, is this interesting or is it not interesting? Any comments?
As a consumer, that interests me quite a lot. Because as I look around the county and I'm looking for different things to do with my family, different places to go and see, it would be nice to have a single source where I could go and find that information.
And I wish we did ours. So
one of the problems we have is, even though you do it on your website, you know, I'm a constituent now, I got to figure out where to go on the web to figure this out. So I have to Google, you know, the improvement district. I have to Google, you know, USD 260 and find yours. Bear in mind, we have 12 school districts in Central County. Mm-hmm. right? So if you want to see all the school district meetings, you got to go to 12 different places to figure out, you know, some of them may not even be on there, right? And in 20 cities, and some of those cities may not be on, you know, no offense to your MOVE, but if you want to see a MOVE meeting, you can't see it right now. So this is something where I think in 2025, people got to expect that these meetings are recorded, they can go see them. The question is, you got to go to, again, just with this table alone, we have 14 in my district, governments represented. And multiply that times the rest of the county, there are, you know, 80 different governments, maybe more, across the county that potentially would be part of this contract.
What's
and everybody would have a chance to have their foot in the door. Yes, sir?
What's the cost? What are we looking
for? We don't know. We're not going to go do an RFP if there's not, if we can't gauge their interest. We're not going to waste our time writing the contract up. We're not going to go out and get an RFP. The question is there interest on the front end, and at a price, if the price was something you could stomach, is there interest? I'll just say this, I've always supported KPPS's $80,000 contract. I was very disappointed to see this. Although I do need to save money in the budget. So this is a hard one for me. Why do I support this? Because I have people all the time tell me, well, first of all, clear across the state of Kansas, call me up and say, we love seeing your meetings online. We didn't know this was going on. We learned something, we learned this, we learned that. I get information from people all over the state of Kansas. And there's people out there that watch this over the air. Believe it or not, over the air TV is still a thing. With an antenna, you can see quite a lot, actually. There's dozens of channels available. And KPTS, again, this may not be through KPTS. This might be a different broadcast station. There's multiple broadcast stations in the Atlanta area. They would all compete for this. So as a competitive contract, they would have to see what's being requested. We have to get legal to draft this up. Once we all agree that this is what we're trying to do here, then we have to go out for a request, for a proposal, and get some numbers back. If there's not interest by the cities, though, I'll just kill it right now. It's just an idea. I'll say this, though, and Faith, you can attest to this. I feel like we've had less and less public engagement in our meetings. And you have to wonder, why is that? Because people don't know what's going on. And they find out something, maybe after it's too late. They find out something's already happened. They didn't even know it was being discussed. And I think we have some responsibility to the people we serve to actually do good at communicating. The newspaper is fine, but if you're not going to look for something specifically in the Valley Center or whatever paper, you may not see it. Even when it was in the Derby Informer, I love the Derby Informer, but unless you subscribe to that, you know, specifically to look for these pieces of information, you may not see something. And anyway, I think we're trying to get information out and communicate, but it's hard. And so this is just one more way to, if you will, embrace and invest in transparency and, if you will, accountability to our people. So is there interest or is there not interest?
We'd be interested. Looking at the future, I mean, TV and newspapers are not where the next generation is looking for information. They like repositories on the web that has everything, and they like to have a one-stop shop.
Absolutely.
So I think that there's some opportunities there if you could get everybody on board and store everything in one location. If people could just go there and pick their, what do they want to watch, Mulvane? They want to watch Wichita, they can just pick and choose. I think people get frustrated if they have to go, I want to go to Wichita, but I got to go to Wichita's website, and I got to go to Mulvane's website, and I got to go to Derby's website. And right. The next generation gets frustrated with that.
So I'm looking at the cities in USD especially right now.
Are you thinking to where they could go to Sedgwick County's website, click a link, and then have access to this information? Or are you thinking a channel that only plays those meetings?
It's both.
That kind of, okay.
It may not be Sedgwick County's website. It might be another website entirely. It may not be Sedgwick County, but it may be. Maybe it would be.
Or maybe it would
But basically, you have one place to go to see the meetings of every governing body. You can click it, and you get one place to go to see it all. Okay. So again, if you have streaming services available, if you want to use your cell data and use your cell phone, you can click it and you can see a meeting that you want to be. Without having to go all over the county looking for what you want to look at. I know that I'm kind of dumb in it. That's not the right word. I'm kind of weirded this way. I actually like watching these meetings. I tune into meetings all the time. I can see them. I like to watch these meetings and see what people are talking about. It's kind of like my pastime hobby. So there are people that are like me. You know, I think of Lonnie Wright, for example. He watches these meetings because he just likes them. So there are people out there that would watch these meetings if it was easy to get to and they could see them.
I think if you do it, it needs to be a TV channel plus a website going together, because I haven't watched TV in over 10 years. I get all my information from going and looking stuff up or going to meetings. So you have the people that don't watch TV, but they do it through the website. So you can have the Central County website where you just click on the town, or and then another drop down gives the meeting, and then plus on the Channel 7. I think you need to do both. Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
So, while these cities, so when you talk about your $80,000 you're going to save, so we spent $75,000 a few years ago updating all our AV equipment in our council room and making sure we have good cameras and recording. So is this $80,000 you're paying PBS that you're going to cut, is that just for them to put it on, to them bring a video camera in and broadcast it?
No.
Because like all day,
we provide the file.
They would have to spend the $75,000 to be able to do that recording process, or is this taking a TV camera?
So I think we produce the video programming, if you will. We do the production of the video. Ours is sent when we have KBTS. We send them the video directly. They actually have think of it as a pipeline. It would go out over the air. Why?
So you're just paying
but
to
they,
distribute that video.
Right. We own the production equipment to do that.
Like
we actually staff that.
Because your ability to create a website and just put everybody's meetings on there that reports it, you can do that now without spending $80,000.
No, the $80,000 is not really for the website.
It's to
and I'm not saying it's $80,000. I don't know what the number might be. It's a shared contract. It might be another number. But we would all have some financial life responsibility to share the cost of this thing that we're all partners on, okay? The website's cheap. That's not the issue.
Yeah.
That, it takes a vision to do that. That's actually less expensive. A website's not that expensive. But when you talk about someone putting up on a tower and broadcasting over the air, that's where the money comes. Okay? And that's right now, that's what the 80,000, that's what KPBS primarily did for us. They broadcast that over the air. And there's people out there that love watching that. You know, and some of the numbers that came in, we somewhat doubted some of the numbers recently. I think the numbers were less sure of what they said before. And so there's less interest right now to spend that kind of money for that kind of viewership. I think this is too much money for us by ourselves to do that.
Sure.
But collectively, if we could find a shared service, okay, let's say it costs the county something, I don't know, let's say it costs us 40.
Let's throw out some numbers.
Let's say it costs the city 40, and the other cities, they all put in 10. I'm just throwing out some numbers here. That might be enough money to actually do something like this. I don't know, I have no idea how this would work out.
Sure.
But for some small amount of money, you become a lot more available to the people. And that's what I think right now is missing. I don't know if you guys keep track of who goes to your website and look at your meetings. How many clicks do you get a week? I don't know if you know that.
We do.
It's not very many, though. I can tell you.
It's more than watch Channel 7.
Right. Yeah, okay. But if you think about your city, it's 26,000 people. How many people, in, say, in a year, how many meetings were viewed in a year over, you know, the number of people you're serving, or say over a month, or even over a two-week period? Break that down and say, are you really, if it's like 1% of people, then maybe we could do better than that. We could probably get that better. And one of the things, when we put stuff on Facebook, when I first became a county commissioner, we weren't actually on Facebook or YouTube at that time. And I really tried hard to get that on there. And we've had, one thing I like about both of those platforms is we get feedback in the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those things are happening right now. And people can respond right now to the meeting. And we can see those if we're looking at them. So that feedback's really, really kind of neat, okay? But our viewership there is actually, in some meetings, has been very high. If something's going on, like COVID, we have one meeting that happened at the beginning of COVID. I go back and look at those numbers, I'm just amazed how many people are watching those meetings. Anyway, so, yes, Faith.
So there's about 5,000 people in my neighborhood, and I was specifically asked by them at the meeting in Moore County, and I'm trying to get rid of that, to please ask for you to keep KPTS. So I know there's absolute interest. It may not be KPTS, whatever that looks like, but I know we have a big elderly population in my neighborhood, and they absolutely do watch over-the-air television, and they want this.
And I'll just say this, the older population is more likely to watch that over-the-air stuff, and so, yeah, it's younger people, probably more streaming stuff, and,
mm-hmm.
but there's a population that really does like the over-the-air stuff. So, again, it's an investment to be communicated, okay? Is it something we should... When you're trying to trim the budget, this is one of those things where it is subject we cut. And I, again, I'll say this, our numbers weren't very good this last time. That really caused a problem. And then we had some legal disagreements over the contract. And so I want to recognize our CFO for Central County, our Lindsay Parver. So if you don't know her, she's our CFO. She's amazing. Okay. Do me a favor. I don't think we have to deal with this today, this discussion we just had. May I bring it back next time, 2 months from now? Please, between now and 2 months from now, talk to your people, talk to your managers, talk to your electeds, and see if there is interest in doing some kind of investment to do this together. If there's not support from this board, I will stop talking about it. We'll just kill the idea. If this is important, I'll continue to advocate for it, and I'll ask my colleagues to maybe agree with me, and we'll try to move forward. But this board's opinion matters to me. That's why we're here today. Okay? All right.
Jim?
Yes.
I would just like to add, I feel like Derby Public Schools, that we do a pretty good job of letting our community know when our meetings are, that you can watch live, that all of this. I could personally see having one-stop shop where you can go for all of Sedgwick County, where can we watch the meeting live, something like that. I don't know, depending on what the expense is personally, that I would feel good about adding expense to what I feel like we're already doing a pretty good job of delivering. So that's just my thoughts. But
I appreciate
so you're
that.
Saying maybe if the county helped have, like if we could go to the county and find a directory
yeah,
of what
that
people
tells,
are already,
you know, where
I mean, because I'm technically in your district and I haven't been notified of a board meeting video personally in here. So I mean, from the outside looking in, I go,
our Facebook side, our communications team, so maybe I
mean, I'm found on Facebook with Derby, but you know,
they
the
put out live minutes.
Awkward, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So yeah. Even though you're doing the work, sometimes it's not hitting everybody. Sometimes it can be so, but I like the directory idea too.
I'll just say this. If a organization doesn't want to do it, then I guess they don't have to do it. Yeah. The county may go on without you. So again, it's going to make someone look badly if they don't want to participate. Yes, Becky?
Just an observation, and I'm certainly open for any discussion, and I'll go back and talk to our comms people. We have DAB meeting tonight. We might throw this out there. But, you know, if I'm interested in what's going on in Wichita, it's pretty easy for me in Google to put City of Wichita, and then boom, City of Wichita, and then, you know, go to our YouTube pages. You can find the meeting in about 10 seconds, really. And I'm as low-tech as they come. Like, there's low-tech, no-tech, and me. I think it would almost be harder to find or know that this directory even exists. Like, what would I search, and how would we even let people know that it got created? So, just a thought. I mean,
well, may I suggest on the Wichita website there should be a thing that says, you know, links to other, you know, governments around Central County.
Sure.
Click that, it goes to the page, and from there you can say, well, there's a Derby one, and there's a Mulvane one, and there's a Goddard one, and there's all 12 school boards. There they are, and there's the Planning Commission meetings. And then you click that, and it goes to another place, and you can see those meetings. So,
yep.
I'm just saying, right? We could work out where they would go to each other, so to speak. I don't say that, you know, the Central County would do this independently. And again, the website is not the solution to all the problems here. The broadcast is the more expensive part of this.
Right.
The stuff you see on streaming online, that's not the biggest problem here. So to your point, Becky, I agree. It's not that hard. If you're younger and you know how to do these things, you have a smartphone or have a, you know, Google, and you have a computer, you can probably figure it out. If you really want to know what something's important, you go. But I'll say this also, people don't just stumble across information. They're there to look for something specifically. Sometimes it used to be, you turn on the TV and say, what's on TV? I don't know, let me see what's on TV. That's what this is. Well, they're having a meeting. What are they talking about? You know, I didn't know what was going on. So it's a chance for people to get more, and I see your point, Kathy. Being available is certainly one part of our job is to be available. But I think to be, if you will, intentionally trying to communicate proactively is another step beyond that, right? And I can tell you, the county has been better at this. We've because we lost this contract, we're not as good today as we have been in the past. The Facebook and YouTube does have pretty good viewership, but we've lost the broadcast piece, and people are not happy about that, right?
Well, we broadcast live.
You broadcast live on what?
Online.
My point is, you don't broadcast over the air.
I know.
So the people who are older, don't have a computer, don't see your stuff at all. They're paying taxes. They have no idea what's going on. No way for them to see it. That's the problem. So I know you're broadcasting. If you want to say you were broadcasting, you're streaming the surveys. You're streaming their meetings. And that, again, a lot of the larger, we do the same thing. I'm sure Wichita does the same thing. A lot of the larger ones do. A lot of the smaller cities do not. And again, you have to also go to every single website to figure out what to do. And you have to go look for the agendas. You have to go look for the, you know, they're all different times. Sometimes they're at the same time. They're overlapping. You can't see them both at the same time. Okay. It's just a lot of problems.
I will say this. Door knocking for school board members, Derby and Sedgwick County, I've gone to older people's homes, and I basically get the door shut in my face saying, my kids no longer go to public school or that school. We're not voting. Boom. So I don't think they're going to be tuning in to a school board meeting. And I saw that a lot.
Concerned about taxes, they may.
Well, tell you what, let's continue the conversation at our next meeting. Just do me a favor. Please spend some time and develop an opinion for your organization, whether this is something we should pursue or not pursue. That's all I'm asking. Okay? And you don't have to have unanimous consent here. You just need to have a majority of belief here. So next month, we'll hopefully get that one done. I'm going to ask two very quick questions. We want to move on to the budget real quickly. Two quick things. Again, I'm just going to ask you, let me just do it this way. Please email me any topics you want to bring before the board for topics for the DB, the collaboration board. If you have a topic you want us to talk about at the table, please email that to me so I'm not just doing this on my own. Okay? You guys have not been feeding me any information yet, so I don't know what you're thinking necessarily. Me to be collaborative, if you will, and make sure those topics get on the agenda. If something you want to talk about that you think is important to this group of people, please email me that information. I'll make sure it gets on the agenda, okay? And the last one, number six here, we provide a lot of services to Central County, from Central County to our citizens, which are in your cities, in your organizations, and in your schools. So I'm asking, what do you want us to help educate you on, or if you will have a presentation from county government to help explain how something works? Maybe it's 911, or maybe it's animal control, or maybe it's emergency management, or maybe it's something about taxes or something. Is there something you would want to see us bring in, if you will, county experts to talk about that topic? That we can have a collaborative discussion about that and learn more about it. And again, maybe there's something you're not happy with. Not happy with 911, for example. You're not happy with EMS. You want them to come in and make a presentation that we can actually talk to them as a board and see if there's anything we want to advocate for some solutions. So that's more of a question. So number 5 and 6 are questions for you. On both of those, please email me what you want me to bring forward, if anything, okay? All right, let's talk about the budget for a little bit. First of all, how many people have so far had a who's adopting budgets in August? Everybody? All the electeds here and managers? August, right?
Yeah.
You guys have your recommended budgets out for the public to look at? Have you guys already got that for your electeds? Okay.
Yep.
You did. And you guys have probably already got yours done. I mean, improvement districts and townships. Usually it's one visit to the county office and you pretty much just talk that out, right?
Yeah. We did ours.
You guys bring it back to your board to adopt those budgets later, or is that's just it?
No, we did it. The board was all present. We did it with the county. They'll post in the Derby Informer for the next couple of weeks, and then we'll move to approve it for public hearing on mid-August.
Okay. Very good. Well, I'll just say this. Lindsay, I invite you, please, to correct. If I say something wrong, please just get attention here in the room and break me out, okay? I invite you, please, to do that. So, I on the paper in front of you, I just want you to see our budget is online. I just posted online. And this page you have in front of you, on the very beginning of this, is the manager's executive summary here, and I didn't bring this to you, but this is very good read here. It talks about some of the things in Central County that are happening right now in terms of growth trends and things like that. So You'll notice right there in the middle of that page, it says, I'm not sure it says it right there. The recommended budget right now captures 5.5% of our assessed value growth. Our assessed value growth this year, so far, and I think things can still change, I guess. After we adopt our budget, there's a final number. So that what we end up with, the mill levy might be slightly adjusted by county clerk eventually. Right now, the recommended budget, so Tom Stoltz presented this last Wednesday, and it captures 5.5% of the 8.6% assessed value growth. So on your budgets, I'm just curious around the room if you guys are being willing, on your recommended budgets, what is your assessed value growth, and how much of that are you planning to capture this year? Does anybody have a way to answer that question?
Our overall valuation increase is about 5% between the two counties. We're trying to capture 100% of that.
So you're planning on leaving the mill levy
flat?
Okay. Okay, good. Mark Stats or Mike Comments, do you guys have any way to answer that? What's your assessed value growth?
Our assessed value is from 7.16% across Derby. We're probably going to be looking around 0.4 to 0.5 recommended mill lowering where we were at. So we'll capture 6% and capturing. And then we always budget 1.5% for delinquent. So if everybody paid their taxes, so really we're capturing around 4.5%.
And I'll just make a quick comment on that delinquent tax, and again, Lindsay and I talk about this a lot. A delinquent tax eventually does come in, usually, and there's interest applied to it. So eventually, you might say, well, he has some delinquent tax this year, but I got some money from last year's delinquent tax, and I got some money this year, the one before that, I got some money this year from the one before that. And so eventually you get all your money. So you have some money that's not coming in right away, but you got previous year's money, and so it kind of, you know, in a sense, a small portion of that money is not immediate, but it's filled in, if you will, with other delinquent taxes you already have in the pipeline. So, the 5.5%. Does anybody know what the inflationary rate was this last year? The consumer price index for this area. No, we know what it is. I just wanted you guys to know. Quiz. I might be wrong. I'm going to throw out there. I believe it's about 3.3%. Lindsay? Yeah? It's about right. So what this is, I'll just say this. I have, I believe maybe it's on here. It's not on here. There have been, since 2020, we've seen a phenomenon where the assessed value growth has gone up rapidly, and the inflation rate hasn't tracked it exactly. They've kind of separated it a little bit. And it's given us an opportunity to address some things we hadn't been able to address before 2020. In some departments, we were so understaffed because we didn't have the money to really pay our staff. We were having some significant staff shortages. To the point, some people might not even argue we're not really fulfilling an obligation to our people. Because some services you really can't not fund, like the sheriff or the jail deputies, for example. The jail, we have about 50% manned. We have 50% of the staff we need to keep our prisoners safe and incarcerated. The staff is 50% not there. That's kind of extreme. And we have other departments that are kind of getting kind of close to that. So they use the assessed value growth as a way to do some catch-up work and get the staff salaries up. Now, by doing that, that's a recurring expense. So for the last several years, say 2021 to budget, 22, 23, 24, and even this year, 25 especially, we've taken those years, we've captured those assessed value increases more than our CPI. What they did was it gave us some money in the budget to address some of those things. And most of that money, I'd say more than 90% of the money went to staff salaries to get our staff back in place. In most of those departments, they're either fully staffed or very close to fully staffed. So that's really good. We've essentially solved the problem. This year, let me just say, this year's a little bit different for me, and I don't know if you guys agree or not, but we have, our staff is largely full. I don't want to go back and recreate the problem, okay? So we don't want to do that again. And that because of assessed value is up so high, consumer price index tends to drive things like wages outside of the county, out of the county budget, I should say. Like in the private sector, they follow more of a CPI growth, if you will. So right now, our staff this year, our budget is planning to get a 3% general wage increase plus a 1% scale increase. It's a 4% total. So most of our employees will get a 4% increase. So we're growing the book. We increase about 5.5% of the assessed value growth. That's just property tax dollars. 5.5% just property tax dollars. Our staff across the board is getting on average a 4% increase. Those are some numbers. I want you to see, you actually have two documents in front of you. If you look very carefully, the first two pages, front and back, talks about the recommend. This came out of this recommended budget here, which is online. If you go down here, you'll see it on page, should be on page 9, I guess. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Correct.
All right. There's page 6. By the way, you see that list right there on the right-hand side on page 6? It talks about changes, 2023, what we did in 2024, 2025. It's hard to read right now, but you see right there we have scale adjustments and pay increases and things like that. List what we did. If you go back into the 2013, 2014, 2015, in those years, there were several years the raises were zero. There were layoffs. We were furloughing people. A number of years we didn't. I mean, maybe it's 1% increase. We had a lot of years where we couldn't really add much because there just wasn't money coming in. That increased the mill levy, and there was an appetite. There was not appetite to do that. So again, by capturing some of this assessed value growth, we were able to address some of that. So you go on down to page 9, you'll see here, there it is, right there, page 9. That's what you have in front of you. So the recommended budget is got some packages in there, and I'll show you where some of the money's going, some of the enhancements we're making. But you'll notice on the last three pages, we had, how many days of budget things did we have? We had 6, 7 days. 7 days where all of the agencies come before us and they talk about what they're doing good and what are the challenges were, like the SWOT analysis, our strengths, our weaknesses, opportunities, and our threats. They talk about what their needs were. And some of them asked for some significant staff. Last four pages, if you look at the bottom line there, okay, on the back of page 4, in that back section, okay, bottom of page, bottom of page 2. I think I did this right. Bottom of page 2, they're asking for $10.9 million worth of package increases. That's a thing. That's not staff increases. That's not salary. This is things they want to add that they don't have currently. And then on top of that, they want to add 56 more FTEs or people. So one of the things I can tell you is that Sedgwick County, I have this long sheet I've given you guys before. You guys might still have this. From previous meetings, I gave you guys this big sheet before. Remember this one? On this one, it talks about our FTEs. Adopted FTEs, we had 1,990 FTEs in 2008. If you go all the way across here, we had 2,002 FTEs in 2024. Basically, that means it's flat.
What's an FTE?
It's a full-time equivalency salary person.
Okay.
So it's a full-time employee, if you will. So we have not, over these 16 years on the sheet here, we've added essentially no staff. The county has not increased our people. That's shocking. Agree? We're doing more stuff. We have more responsibilities. We have more things we're doing. We don't have more people to provide the services. But the people are flat, okay? And the people we have are making some more money now. But we didn't add a bunch of people. So when you see here on this thing, they want to add 56 people. That's unusual. You see what I'm saying? To add that many people would be a lot, okay?
Is it unusual, or is it just kind of like a catch-up game?
It's a little bit of both.
Is that number kind of big? Because like you said, they haven't been able to hire in a while, so it's kind of like, well, this is what we need, and we've been doing without for so long.
Well, let me show you. So if you look at that, look at those sheets, look at page 1 and 2. I told them to follow page 2. Look at those numbers are broke out. If you look at the county appraiser, wants to have 9 more people, okay? okay? If you look at page one, there are, at the middle of the top section, County Appraiser is asking for 9 more people. And I guess this doesn't include their salary. So that's 716,000 dollars. The public, see, emergency communications. One of the things we have, let me say this, on our website, sandricounty.org website, we have a couple of things on the front page, or the budget's on the front page. Also, Jensen Hughes report on public safety, making recommendations for things we can do better in Central County for public safety.
So like the, so when it says 6 full-time FTEMTs, that's not even for like the call center that's taking calls. That's actual
correct.
EMTs throughout working.
It's different. Right.
Where's my other phone? More people taking phone calls.
So one of the things that, one of the things that Jensen Hughes report did is it's recommending that we separate call takers from dispatchers. Imagine, if you will, they don't actually have headsets. Like in some places, they have headsets. They have one audio feed in this ear and different audio feed in this ear. Listen, two different things. And you have to be able to understand them both. And you have to talk over each other. They don't actually do it that way. They actually wear a headset on like one ear, and the other ear is open, and they have a speaker in front of them. So it's talking to them with a speaker. And but sometimes we have call takers that are doing dispatching also. And so you want to, that's a model that if you're trained on how to do this, it sounds really difficult. But that's how they're trained to do it right now. So what this is saying is we could do a better job, especially on the dispatch side, if we take calls a little bit more quickly, but be a better job and make sure we dispatch correctly, dispatch the right stuff to the right locations, if we have people who are dedicated to dispatching. So this is adding a lot of dispatchers. And so that's 20 people. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the budget now, page one, the very front page, if you go to the very front page I showed you a minute
ago. Would that slow down the response time?
No. It helps things speed up by having more people.
By splitting the responsibilities, would that slow response time, or do they feel like the efficiency would make it faster?
I was going to say this. Our expert on that topic is Laura Forshee, our director of emergency, and she believes it's better to have them separate. So
okay.
I don't think it's worse.
He said, let me stay in my lane and just tell you what
that's kind of common practice across the United States.
Separate or together?
Separate like that. For decades, it was the same.
Okay.
You might have a dispatcher who's working, let's say, a law enforcement channel. You have an officer who's stopping a car. But at the same time, they're trying to talk to somebody whose house is being broken into. Or at the same time, they're trying to give CPR instructions and multitask. And that's where balls get dropped, is trying to do those very critical things. Is it always happening that way? No. But it can happen very quickly. So if you have half your staff taking calls, and then they're typing it into a CAD system, and it's popping up. So if somebody's working sheriff patrol channel, they've got probably 15 to 20 officers they're dealing with. And they're on the radio doing different, they all have different wants and needs, they're dispatching them here and there. And that way they can just concentrate on that and not on, something else. I'll tell you, back in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, that's exactly what's happening. They were call takers. They hate the term operator, but they're dispatchers, because that's the primary goal of dispatching calls and on the radio traffic. And making sure when somebody calls 911 that the proper help is getting dispatched to it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad the county did that Jensen Hughes study. Jim and myself have had some long conversations about that. Of course, Wichita Fire has not been thrilled with 911, and I'm hoping that this is a step in the right direction. So I'm glad you guys are.
Well, I'll say this. So if you look at the front pages again, there's that section at the beginning, what's on that page there. If you look, I think on page like right there, on page, wherever that is, page 11, I guess it is. Manager's recommended budget is including an increase of 22.5 FTEs. So their salaries for 22 people is not $10,000, not $10 million. That's a lot of other stuff on top of that. And they say also, this also separates out, like our CIP budget is not really reflective in this. This is really talking about basically enhancements for the agencies that provide services, people and things that they need, for the most part. Sometimes different kinds of equipment, that type of thing. But anyway, he's recommending, the manager's recommended budget again, captures 5.5% of our property tax dollars out of that 8.6. It also adds 10 million. But let me show you what it doesn't do, okay? If you go to, you look at the manager's recommended budget, in front of that page, these are changes that he made. This is relevant to, let me say this way. These are relevant to last year's budget?
Yes. Well, the revised budget for the year. Yeah.
So if you look down, for example, first thing I'd say is Board of County Commissioners, we're losing one FTE reduction of $61,679. That's the first thing we're doing there. So that's a reduction of one person. We used to have two people in the front office, now we only have one. Okay? You go on down. The county manager's adding a three-quarters of a person for a communications specialist position. That's an addition of 64,000. That top section has, you know, manager's total is a negative $15,000 altogether as a, no, that's not right. It doesn't total it up there, I don't think. Oh, yeah, it does. Board of County Commissioners has a negative 61,000 minus one. Manager's office has two changes. They're subtracting 80,000 for APTS, but adding 64,000 for a communications person. Together, that's $15,000 savings.
The question there.
Yeah.
When you eliminate service and add an FTE, what are they gaining? I mean, they're both communications.
Well, one is broadcasting the
well, I understand what it is, but
well,
by adding the FTE, it's still in the communications category. Are they gaining enough?
Well, I think so. It's just a different type of resource, if you will. This person, their job is to do a better job of getting our information out to people. So they might be more. And I think I know what this is exactly. We're hiring somebody that is very good at public communications, and their job is to essentially make sure people know what the county's doing through social media, community meetings, right, advertising for events that are happening, things like that. So, anyway, who knows, that may not stay in the budget. Yeah. The budget's not approved yet. This is just a proposed budget for the manager. So we can make changes to this, okay? You go on down, you can see the changes. There's some things are quite a bit. For example, let's look at maybe one that went up. We're adding funding for utilities rate increases. So that's kind of beyond our control. We're estimating what utilities are going to cost. That's kind of important. You can't really change that very easily, right? On that front page there, let's go to the back page. I want you to see what's going on. Let me point out a couple things on pages 2 and 3, or pages 10 and 11. Okay? Emergency communications. He is supporting that 20 people for emergency. So he's instead of recommending budget to add in those 20 people. That's what he thinks we should do. The cost of that is $1.6 million. Those 20 people. Okay? So in a sense, when you add people like that, that's why you go from 3.3 to 5.5. So it becomes a question, is this the right thing to do? Do you guys support these changes? I mean, we want a little bit further here. Let's look at over Parks and Rec. That's where controversy seemed to bubble up, okay? We trimmed this all last year. We're going to trim them again this year, okay? They are eliminating 1.25 people on part-time workers, but they're adding seasonal parks workers. It's almost a wash. They're cutting 48,000, adding 54,000. Our Parks Director thinks that's the thing to do. I think we're supportive of that, okay?
But why not just add them? Does it make it political to say, hey, we reduced this?
It's a different job title, different job duties, I think it is. So it's not exactly the same one for one. So the job description has changed on these two things. HR, human resources probably cares that we count for it correctly. So you got to cut this and add that. They're similar, but they're not exactly the same. So I don't know, it's a good question. I don't think they're exactly the same, though. So for what it's worth, they could just show it as a 0.5, but they show it this way. So.
So looking at this potential budget, it's going to increase taxes?
This will, no, let me say, so the proposed budget right now lowers the mill levy by 0.82 mills and reduces the mill levy rate from 28.701 down 0.82 is at 27 point, I should know the number already, 27.9 I think. So it was 28.701, but it goes down by 0.820. So we are capturing 5.5% growth out of the 8.6% growth. So the mill levy rate is going down, but we're going to receive about $10 million in property tax. There we go. Okay, the new number for 2026 budget is 27.881. So it goes from 28.701 rate to 27.881. That's a 0.820 reduction. If this passes as it's currently proposed. But we are capturing 5.5%, which is more than these, which is more than CPI. So one of the challenges we have is legislature is talking about reducing our ability to do this type of thing. So this year we don't have any state rules about caps this year. That might change in the future. They talked about 3% caps, they talked about 4% caps. That one of those could pass. We don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Can I ask a clarifying question? So if I'm understanding correctly, what I hear you saying is, technically we're reducing the rate in which we're charging on a mill levy, but because the valuations of houses have gone up, even though the tax rate has gone down, we will still capture a little bit more tax money.
Correct.
So your personal tax bill will increase,
correct,
but the rate at which you're being charged is less than the rate you are being charged for.
The reason you're being charged more property tax dollars is because your house went up in value.
Correct. Okay.
And it went up in value more than consumer price index.
So basically, it's a sleight of hand.
Yes.
No, you don't want to give it a name like that.
It also includes improvements, new buildings, and all that stuff.
But here's what we had the same conversation at our budget meeting. That's why I was just making sure that I understood then too, because I'm still new. If the districts, the county doesn't, if they go with the same rate they're at now, your tax bill will still go up, and it'll actually go up even more than it did.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
So for the longest time, the official would try to leave the mill levy rate alone, and that's happened most of the years going back in history. Mill levy rate stays flat. Most governments try to leave it flat, but that means you're capturing the full 8.6%. So by dropping it down to 27.881, we're giving up some of that.
It's kind of a win-win, actually, and the way I looked at it, because we're reducing the rate, but yet there's still could possibly be a little increase in the bottom line of what an individual pays.
To answer the question differently, also though, this extra money is paying for these 20 new coffee.
Absolutely,
the size of government is growing intentionally. We're adding something that we don't currently have, and that's going to cost more money, right? We're making the services more robust. We're doing something more intentionally than we did before. It's going to cost more money to do that.
I mean, for me, I'm on board with it because I've called 911 and been put on hold. Mm-hmm. I don't live in New York. I don't live in a city where I would like to feel that feeling is not good. So, one mill
on a $100,000 home is $11.50 per year. Okay? 0.82 mills is about $9 a year on a $100,000 house. So if you have a $200,000 house, it's like $18 a year tax increase. That's what we're talking about for the county budget.
So,
and to do that, we're going to add 20 more call takers.
So,
and a few other things. Go ahead.
So for that calculator that the budget calculator that was put out, the SIM, or
the budget.
So everything that everybody's asked for, they're getting?
Oh, no. No, that's only the point here. So that I want to make that point. Thank you, Becky. I want to make that point. Most of the packages on the back pages here are not being funded. That's really the point I'm trying to make here. Again, they asked for 62 people. Managers recommending 22 people. So 40 people they asked for are not willing to fund those. And in fact, they made some cuts.
Not willing or able.
Well, we also made some other cuts in the budget to be able to get to. we cut a position over here and added a position over there, okay? So there's some of that going on as well. So the manager's budget recommendation is where we are at the moment. The reason I bring this up, I guess I would ask you guys, we're not gonna have time to do, we're actually over time right now. We're gonna stop in just a second here. I'd ask you guys to, look at the sheet you have in front of you. If you have recommendations that you want to change, we have two public hearings, but I would like to, you're on this board, we're out of time today, I'm asking you to communicate with me. Let me know what you think about this budget proposal. I'm asking you, let me point out just a couple things real quickly. On culture and rec, the zoo has got two new zookeepers because they have more elephants. That's $147,000 more for two zookeepers because they have more elephants, okay? Community programs, we have $100,000 reduction for exploration place this year. Extension Council is going to go down $37,000 this year. Economic Development, they have an increase of $100,000. GWP is going from $400,000 a year to $500,000 a year. They actually went up a little bit. We have
Commissioner, they're going to 450.
450. Okay. All right, 450.
Told me to say it.
There you go. Thanks for clarifying that. I didn't know where we ended up on that. Thank you. And then anyway, so the cultural and recreational stuff is a little bit more, it draws more comments from more people, okay? So I just want to point that out here. They didn't ask for cuts, obviously.